Okay. You ready for me?
You're on.
I don't see it on mine, but that might be there. Yeah, extra. Yeah. All right. Pastor Jason Cooley here, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. But today I am in London, and I am at the West Norwood Cemetery here, the tomb of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest Baptist preachers that in the last 200 years or so. And we are live here right now looking at this amazing tomb that his church built for him. And so I'm going to walk you through the tomb, not through it, around it, I should say. I'm going to walk you around it, not through it, because that'd be weird. But we'll walk around it. And I'll show you some interesting things about it and in a minute, but I'll read the front of it here first. And obviously, you know, amazing. Spurgeon preached a message, and his last message that he preached to a group of pastors before he died, not his last sermon, period, but the last one he preached to this group of ministers before he died, was on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. And it was called My Dying Manifesto, okay? And it was out of the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So here we have Spurgeon's tomb here at this magnificent cemetery. I mean, it is amazing. How well they took care of their people that they loved and cared about and respected. And all right, I think we're back here. I think we're back. All right, so we did the manifesto here. Spurgeon preached a message called his Dying Manifesto, and it was a soldier's dying words, basically a Christian soldier's, and I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. And he warned those men that they needed to do that because apostasy was coming. Wasn't wrong. He said that there'd be a time when the churches would be entertaining the goats instead of caring for the sheep. Instead of feeding the sheep, they'd be entertaining goats. And that's exactly what's happened today. So he wasn't wrong about that. He was right about that. God had led him that way. It says here lies the body of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, waiting for the appearing of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also that of his dearly beloved wife, Susanna. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. So the Bible tells us about that and instructs us about the resurrection. And Spurgeon believed that, you know, you're going to find out on the other side what he believed about that. He gave his testimony very clearly about that, and the testimony that he desired for other people to understand about him and about Christ as far as what was important. So soon I think he's going to, Brother Andrew's going to come off that tripod in a few minutes here, and he's going to follow me around, and I'm going to show you some of these things. But it's really a magnificent tribute to their pastor, who was a pastor for 40 years, a man that would preach to millions of people in his lifetime through all kinds of different things, through newspapers. Remember, this is before online. This is before you had internet. This is before you had telephones in some cases. This is when they were on horseback. This is when you were mailing penny sermons out to people all over the world. They would sell these penny sermons out there on the streets of London to as many people as would buy them for a penny, and they would sell those sermons, and then it would pay for like the orphanages and the other different ministries that Spurgeon had at the time. And by the way, still, there's still foundations out there today that have these very same, he had millions of dollars come in and millions of dollars go out for people wanted the gospel and wanted to support the gospel ministry. So as you come up here, this is amazing. They redid this in 2018. They basically resurfaced it and cleaned it up and fixed it up. But it's the same thing that it was then. And this was his wife, Susanna, in loving memory of Susanna Spurgeon, born January 15th, 1832. Died October 22nd, 1903. What an amazing woman. If you don't have any of her books, you need to get her books. I read them when I went through depression, and they were a great help to me. She ministered to her husband through depression his whole life when he suffered depression. And she ministered to him and helped him through that, and was a great source of comfort to him and a great blessing to him through that. And her books, A Basket of Summer Fruit, I think is one. And my wife would know the others. I think we read a bunch of them together. And I know my wife's read a couple of them for sure. She can maybe put that on the chat there. We read them together. Flowers from a Puritan's Garden is another one that she compiled for her husband, which is a very good one. And that's a bunch of Puritan quotes that she put together that were very excellent quotes. I can't think of some of the other ones, but there are other ones. This is a quote from her talking about Christ after her husband had died and she was alone without her husband. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine food. Though painful at present, 'twill cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant, the conqueror's song. Those two loved each other so much. One of the things that they said in their to each other, how they greeted each other was, and how they would leave letters was, yours till heaven. That's how they would greet. That's the same way I feel about my wife, and I'm sure that's the same way you feel about yours. Hopefully anyway, amen. But yours till heaven. And that's what they believed. On the backside, here is a quote from Spurgeon when he was going to die. He said this: when you see my coffin carried to the silent grave, I should like every one of you, whether converted or not, to be constrained to say, he did earnestly urge us, in plain and simple language, not to put off the consideration of eternal things. He did entreat us to look at Christ. And below here it says, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, 1834 to 1892. This tomb was lovingly restored in August of 2018 so that through an appreciation of a life lived for Jesus Christ, others may be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. The ministry of reconciliation is what that talks about, right? So And by the way, this is, it's interesting because this is at the top of this cemetery. We went through all the, Brother Carl and I and Mary, we're not grave sucking out here. We were looking for Spurgeon's tomb and where it was. And it's interesting because as we're looking for it, you know, we're going around everywhere and looking, and then it's all the way at the top here. So then it tells me that a lot of those other ones may be older or younger than this up here. And this was here longer. But here it says here, this monument was erected in loving memory of C.H. Spurgeon, who was born at Kelvedon, Essex, June 19th, 1834, and fell asleep in Jesus at Mentone, France, January 31st, 1892. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. And so what a tribute to their pastor, you know, to their, for all the work that he did in the gospel ministry for them and how many people he witnessed to and how the Lord used him. But you know something, the one thing that he wanted people to know was not about him. He wanted them to know about Jesus. He wanted them to know, the theme of his ministry was look and live. Look and live. That was the theme of his ministry. And that's the same thing I would tell you, is look and live. If you've never been saved by the grace of Almighty God and had your sins forgiven, then look and live to Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're to look to Jesus. And we're to, salvation is as simple as look and live. It's realizing I'm a wicked sinner and I deserve hell. And repenting of my sin and turning from it. That doesn't mean I stop sinning. No gospel preacher tells somebody they have the ability to stop sinning. We tell them they must turn. Turn. Repentance is doing an about face. I'm going the wrong way. Now I want to turn to Christ and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart. I'm sorry and I have sorrow in my heart, not unto myself, but to the Lord, that I sinned against the most righteous blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins and who was buried and rose again from the dead. This is what this man's hope was. This is the blessed hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope and the future resurrection that we have, that Jesus will one day raise us from the dead when our bodies go into the ground. So Spurgeon lived a life fighting depression and preaching the gospel. He lived a life witnessing and preaching to thousands upon thousands of people, and millions heard the message and still hear him today. It's like when they asked D.L. Moody about something, they asked him, well, when he was about ready to die, they said, well, sir, you're about ready to receive your reward. And he said, not yet, not till all the accounts come in. And that's exactly what's happening with this man, that God is still using the sermons that he led this man to preach so many years ago. I have the Metropolitan Tabernacle at home, and that's got 69 volumes of Spurgeon's sermons spanning almost 40 years of preaching the gospel. And those sermons are available there, right? And they're available for those that want to listen to them online. You can listen to them free. They're there. You don't even have to buy the books. You can listen free. They're all over the place. But anyway, those sermons are a blessing, and they were an encouragement to literally millions of people. So it's something that you ought to really think about, you know, when it comes to the impact that men like this had. I mean, to send mission, they found his sermons on the mission field when men died. They would look at their bags over in India. They would open up their personal stuff and send their things back to their family. And they would find penny sermons from Spurgeon all the way over in the Congo, all the way over in Africa, all over the world. They would find those sermons that they had in their backpacks or that they were listening to. So, you know, understand that. That's why, you know, I have been blessed by this man's ministry. By many things that God had showed him and his gospel ministry and his preaching. And one thing you learn from Spurgeon is that, You ought to always have the gospel in your sermon somewhere. That was one thing that he said. If you don't have Christ, no Christ in your sermon, he said, then, sir, go home until you have something to talk about. That's what he said, amen? And that's, you know, for the most part, it's not giving a lecture. You know, if you're giving a historical lecture, you're still going to have Christ there somewhere on biblical things. But his focus was, you know what? It's Christ and him crucified. That was the strength of his ministry, that if you lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. And there's a story about Spurgeon before he answered the, actually, it answered the call to preach, but until he surrendered to pastor the church at the New Park Street pulpit, which eventually would be the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which you have, if you haven't seen that yet, go to our video earlier today and you can watch, and we'll put a link maybe in this so to send you there if you'd like to sometime in the future here. But go there and you can watch that. But you'll learn that Spurgeon, one of the things about Spurgeon was before he pastored that, he went to a college and they really tried to talk him into going to Bible college. And Spurgeon, a university Bible college, you know, not a church one, but a university one. And Spurgeon was going to do that. And he got there and they were talking to him. A well-known theologian was talking to him. And I can't remember the man's name offhand, but a well-known theologian was talking to him. And he said to him, he said, we'll see if we can, you know, get you into college and we'll get you in here to, so you can, you know, get an education, everything like that. Well, when the man walked away, he said, God smote his heart. And he said, God said to him, seekest thou things for thyself? Seek them not. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. And he said, you don't need to go to Bible college. You need to preach the word and you need to go. So Spurgeon would then be, they would then vote him in at the tabernacle there at New Park Street Pulpit, eventually the tabernacle there, and he would become their pastor. A very young man, he was 19 years of age when he pastored that church, which is a phenom, but remember, he died at 57. So he already had a full life. Somebody asked Spurgeon one day, they asked him, how can one man do so much? And he said, you forget, there's two of us. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost of God, that he's the one that does the work and allows him to be, he uses him for God's glory. And so that was another amazing quote that Jason O'Brien said, I'm considering Bible college. Consider it not. That's what I'll tell you. Consider it not. Don't waste your money. I've seen a lot of people with Bible college degrees and never mind, I won't turn this video into that, but just see my other videos on Bible colleges, if you would, and we can talk about that some other time. I think a Bible Institute in a church, by the way, Spurgeon started a pastor's college. It was out of the, it was a ministry of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he trained men for the ministry right through there, and they were members of his church, I believe, and they went out and preached and all kinds of stuff. So there was a lot to that, but I won't get into that. I won't get into too much of the Bible college thing, but I'm not for too much of that, and I think this man's a perfect example, somebody that was one of the greatest preachers England ever saw, and I would say one of the greatest used preachers since the Apostle Paul, arguably. You know, you could make that statement. Now, you may not agree with that, and that's okay. That's just an opinion. God knows he keeps track better than you and I do, who he believes is great. And anyway, but praise the Lord for a man's godly testimony. And I'll be honest with you, I never thought I thought one day I'd get here, but I never thought it'd be so soon. And I never thought I'd be here. Like, I never really thought about it that much. It's a blessing. I've talked about Spurgeon for many years. I read his, in fact, during Depression, I told you guys earlier, and you can go back and see those videos when I talk about the minister's fainting fits and some sermons that I preached on that, to where I talked about Spurgeon's sermons on there. And let me see. I was going to look at something. Yeah, there we go. Yep. Okay. I added my wife as a moderator on there just for right now, so in case somebody doesn't, somebody says something dumb on here. Here we go. I told you. There it is. I knew it. I knew somebody would say, you're grave sucking. I don't need to suck any graves. I got the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
So anyway, I won't let you tear this up. We'll just get rid of you and move on with it. But anyway, there we go. Got rid of that, but anyway, my wife can take care of some of those since she's back there for now, because a lot of times people aren't on there, so I'll have her take care of it. But everyone knows exactly what I preach, what I believe, what I hold to those things. The Bible says to honor to whom honor is due. That's what it says. And you're supposed to honor people and you're supposed to respect them, and especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. I have a Bible there, kid. I know what it says. So and that's what we do. Well, wherever the other one is, hopefully somebody can see it. I don't see it on mine. But, actually, Hannah did say another book is A Cluster of Campfire. That's the one that we send out to a bunch of ladies and different ones. Everybody in our church has. I don't know if we got Mary one, but they have a package on the way for you and Mary, Carl. So that'll be there. I don't know where the other troll is, but we won't worry about them. You'll be able to click on those, Hannah, and you can kick them off. And if somebody has a problem with you doing it, well, they can take it up with me, and I got big shoulders. I'm not worried about it, and I'm just as mean as anybody can be when I need to be. So anyway, praise the Lord for this. And that we were able to come here and see this. It was a blessing, and record this. Man, I'll tell you, these days are flying by. It's 5 o'clock UK time, right? And tomorrow, you pray for us. We're going to try to make it to the British Museum tomorrow, okay? And if we get to the British Museum tomorrow, we won't be able to broadcast a lot there. I might try to do something. I don't know if we're going to get back in time to do anything tonight. We have to pack. And we have to take everything by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're going to leave before then because we got to get to the British Museum. But we have to make our way there. We have to get through customs later on in the afternoon. I'm guessing we have to, right, when we fly to Scotland. And then we're off to Scotland, okay? So, but you pray for us. And who knows if the Lord will allow us to do some more. I have a lot of material. I just don't have enough time. And it may be that we do it when we have some downtime. But somebody asked a question about some of those things. Those are just trolls that try to come on. But praise the Lord, we don't worry about them. We're not going to let them ruin what God does. Amen. We'll ignore them. And that's why I told my wife before I left, I think I'm going to give you a blue wrench while we're out here running around so you can do this if you have to. Praise the Lord. All right, everybody. God bless you. I hope it was a blessing to you. I hope these little spots are a blessing to you. I don't know. How long have we been on here? How long has this went? Does it say? I'm just curious. Mine doesn't say like that, I don't think. But I was just curious. Erica, I appreciate your prayers. I really do. Let me say hi to folks here real quick. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much, because the Lord knows I need them. My brains aren't accustomed to change, so they don't do well when I have those things that happen. So just, I appreciate the prayers, but, you continue to pray for us, and we're praying for all of you back there. And it's so weird being like 5 o'clock here and, back there, it's like in the morning, and I'll be honest with you, it throws me off, makes me mad half the time, to be honest with you, because I can't figure it out in my brains. But anyway. But God bless you all. Jody Hammond, I hope you're doing well. I haven't seen you for a little while, so you must have been busy. Lori Standring, good to have you on here. Joe McDonald. Joey, we're coming for you. We're coming for you, Joey. We're coming for you. Pretty soon.
We're coming for you, Joe.
He's on there, man. No, that was not Fidel Castro that just came and attacked me. That was not Fidel Castro. It was not. Okay? Don't be afraid for me. I'm okay. It did. I realize it looked like Fidel. All right? I know it does. Or What's that one Beatles guy's name? I forget his name. What was his name?
Richard Harris?
No, the other one. What? Not Ringo, not, what's his name? No, not him. John, what was his name?
John Lennon.
Yeah, you're John Lennon. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you look like him. Anyway, we're going to work on that. I'm trying to get him out of his Fidel Castro outfit, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway, Teresa, Daryl's wife, said, yes, you do. And we can edit some of this last part out later for everybody, but this is for the people that actually listen to us all the time, okay? So you people are the ones that helped us get here, and I appreciate all that you did to get us there, okay? So praise the Lord for that, and all of you on there. So anyway, I guess somebody on there is bashing Spurgeon, but whatever, what's new? Everybody's got a problem with everybody. But usually they're charismatics that don't like him. There's this late, crazy charismatic lady that tries to bash him all the time and has a website saying he was a Mason and he's this and he's that and all these other things. But I rarely listen to what crazy women say, especially charismatic women. Because if they don't know enough not to be preaching and shut their pie holes, then I really don't listen to much of what they have to say. I really kind of ignore those. And the men that follow them, the gay, effeminate men that follow them. Can I say that in England? Is that legal? Is that legal in Britain? I don't. Anyway. Okay. That's right. Anyway. All right. That's a little bit of the America coming out of me here. Okay, I better get out of here before I get in trouble. But anyway, we got to make our way out of here because the rain is coming. It's interesting to note, though, Spurgeon always talked about the gloominess of London. And he would leave and go to Mentone to get away from London for his health, for his breathing, and to keep his brains clear and all that stuff. And right now, I think I want to get out of London because it's getting ready to rain and it's cold. So God bless you all. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.